Good morning, and my very best wishes to you. Today is Palm Sunday, the day when we remember Jesus entering Jerusalem on a donkey to loud cries of Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. 5 days later, on Good Friday morning, the cries were very different as jubilation turned to hostility, hatred and rejection. But for now, let's linger with this traditional theme of Jesus the King. Recently, Lois and I have been grinding our way through the epic Netflix drama, The Crown. It follows the story of our Queen Elizabeth II from her father's final years through to the present day. Season 4 is due to be released at the end of the year, with 6 seasons to look forward to in total. I suspect that we all have mixed feelings about royalty. It will be interesting to see how Season 6 recounts the Harry and Meghan saga, but we'll have to wait a few years for that. Some of you may be avowed Republicans, believing that the royals reinforce a class system that perpetuates the idea that some people are more important than others. Others can't get enough of the gossip. You're fascinated by what the women are wearing and you love to ruminate about whether the crown should skip a generation to William and Kate. Still others take a pragmatic view. If it's good for tourism and the economy, why knock it? Thousands of years ago, long before thoughts of parliamentary democracy, kings and queens were incredibly powerful. They took control of their territories, taxed their people, organised their economies and defences, and always enjoyed the best of everything. David remains the most celebrated of the Old Testament kings. He came from humble origins and yet clearly had innate leadership qualities. Messianic Jews, as well as Christians, believe that one day one of his descendants will rule with justice and righteousness. David's immediate successor, Solomon, cuts an interesting and disappointing figure. In 1 Kings 3, he's described as wise, goes on to create a strong state with a palace, a temple, and a shrewd foreign policy, and yet by 1 Kings 12 is remembered primarily as cruel and oppressive. After his death, the people petition his son, Rehoboam, "Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labour and the heavy yoke, and we will serve you." Sadly, Rehoboam doesn't display any compassion, and the nation splits irreparably. So, royalty can feel very alien to us. Even if you put a generous spin on it, the royals have the best of everything, will jump the queue for coronavirus testing and treatment, and have no way of understanding the struggles of ordinary people. They are insulated from the experiences that we have to navigate. I wonder, therefore, how first century Jewish people would have imagined their coming king. Because make no mistake, Jesus was making a statement on Palm Sunday. By riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, he was fulfilling an ancient prophecy from Zechariah 9 verse 9. "See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Did you hear that? He would be lowly. Not the usual pageantry that accompanies a royal occasion. This king would be different. Some years ago, a former Archbishop of Canterbury, Donald Coggan, wrote some study notes for churches. It was a four-parter entitled "A King with a Difference." Week by week he developed his theme. Kings usually have palaces, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. Kings usually have servants, but this king came to serve, not to be served. Kings usually have territory, but this king wanted devotion, not land. Kings usually have armies and bodyguards, but this king was utterly vulnerable and even prepared to sacrifice himself for others. This king was driven not by the love of power, but by the power of love. Now, such simple ideas, yet they made such a lasting impression on me. This is what royalty should be about. Jesus used his power as God's Son to live among us and liberate us, not to live above us and burden us. Last year, Pope Francis did something quite shocking. He was in South Sudan, a country that has been decimated by tribal fighting. As he spoke with leaders of two powerful factions, suddenly he went down on his knees, grasped their feet, and implored them for the sake of their people to make peace with each other. These two powerful men were visibly embarrassed and shaken, not quite knowing how to react. It was not how they expected a pope to behave, a pope with a difference, perhaps. And there are clearly overlaps for us. Do we take pleasure from pushing other people around or from helping them to have better lives? Do we look out for the interests of others, or are we primarily concerned with realizing our own ambitions and feeding our own appetites? As the great apostle Paul reflected in Philippians 2 on the lowly path taken by Jesus, he wrote this to the Christian believers in that town. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. If you were to visit Paris, you could see the statues of two men, both named Louis. The first is Louis XIV, King of France for 72 years and a classic tyrant. I am the state, he would say. He built the celebrated Palace of Versailles and he turned against the dissenting Huguenots and hounded them out of the country. His philosophy was that the whole nation and the world, insofar as he could compel it, should serve him. A few blocks away is a less pretentious statue. There is no uniform on this figure, no badge of office, no sword, no crown. It's a memorial to Louis Pasteur. His life of unselfish, devoted research conferred immeasurable benefits upon humanity, notably pasteurisation, a method for killing bacteria, and vaccination, to name the better known ones. The statue of the monarch is nothing more than a piece of sculpture, but the statue of Pasteur is a shrine where pilgrims from all over the world come to pay homage. It is the uncrowned servant of mankind who awakens deep gratitude in us. This week, we've been hearing about the great acts of kindness and sacrifice made by so many people. Food and medicine deliveries are being organised for those stuck in their homes, and volunteers are coming forward in their thousands. NHS workers have stepped up as many of us have been told to lock down, some even losing their lives to the virus. Their names are unfamiliar, for they are mostly people with low profiles, but we are quickly learning to appreciate such lowliness. As Holy Week begins and we move towards Good Friday and Easter Sunday, let's not forget the lowliness of this King with a difference. And most importantly, let's embrace that pattern in our own lives of service, as today we proclaim Hosanna to the Son of David. God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord. God bless you all.